that made your way to church tonight. Amen. If the weather keeps up next Tuesday night, we may have to make our way to church. Amen. I don't know. I don't know where all this rain is coming from. Somebody said it was January. I laughed at him. I said, you got to be joking. It's hard to believe it's winter time. Amen. But I do thank you for being here tonight. And so we're going to go right into the word of the Lord. And our opening scripture this evening is Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Amen. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38, where the word of the Lord says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Everybody say, good measure. Everybody say, pressed down, shaken together. Well, we're preaching now. Help me out. Running over. Amen. All men. And listen, it says, running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. So we lose absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Amen. I'm going to make a confession to you. And when I do, I don't want you to tell anybody. Promise? Because we were trained a long time ago in different seminars and things like that that you go to. And you preach some of them and then you're there to listen to some of them. Anyway, you never mess with the ministry. Even the Bible says, touch not mine anointed. But it's frustrating to me how that there are preachers that go to be pastors and there's nothing, absolutely, don't take me wrong. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but here we go. Don't take me wrong. A lot of men work jobs and pastor at the very same time. There's no sin about that. I didn't work a job. I just made my mind up when we came to Lexington. It's just a faith statement I made and stood on it. And that is that from day one, we'd be full time. Well, you better have faith if you're going to go full time with 12 people in your church. And you still got a payment you got to make with insurance and all that. Anyway, I did. Excuse me. I'm allergic to good teaching. But I did work. I did do things on the side. I worked with Jerry Hembry. Jerry Hembry pulled us out of the... A lot of times he was moving furniture and stuff like that, and he would hire me, and I would go work. Jeremy would be a part of that, and I would work harder than Jeremy, and Jeremy would still be throwing up because he had... of the heat and stuff like that. You remember Jeremy? I remember when I outdone you and all that. And so... nothing sinful about that, but there's something about the mentality of the fact that I'm going to work a job until I retire so I can get retirement and pastor the church at the same time. To me, it feels like a lack of faith. Amen. This feels good to me because I'm a little bit aggravated at somebody right now, and I'm not going to tell you who it is because I know you would tell. But you just can't go to a city and sit down and just punch a clock and just say, one of these days God's going to give revival. One of these days God's going to give us an outpouring. One of these days people are just going to come in. One of these days, and one of these days has been a lot of years ago and it still hasn't happened. And I honestly believe a city suffers because of it. And I said all that to say this. People that sit in a church and people that just come to church are not the only people that procrastinate or do things according to their custom and according to their ways. Preachers are susceptible as well. But here, I want this Bible study to speak to all of us. And when I say the word give, don't shut down on me because you think I'm just going to talk about money, because that's not it. That's a big part of it. I believe the final frontier of apostolic revival is in finances. And you guys have proven that. Because you don't go to a city as small, 18,000 people, folks. I don't want to tell you this either, but our, the amount of people that we have, the amount of people we have in our city is less than it was about 10 years ago. It's less. And how do you have the revival we're having with just that amount of people? I'm just simply saying that God is able, and when we give what we are supposed to give, God provides the increase. We blindedly came to this city. I didn't know how many people. I didn't know what the population was. That was the word I was looking for. I didn't know what the population was. I didn't know what the work scale was. I didn't know what people made per hour, per capita. I didn't know all of that. All I knew is that the Lord wanted me here, and so I got myself here as quick as I could. And so I just believe that you give blindedly. You step into it by faith, and you just begin to move with it. Just begin to act upon it and believe it. And God provides the increase. Amen. We don't test God. He tests us. Am I right? Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Malachi 3, 8 through 12 real quick. Amen. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein? In other words, how have we robbed you, Lord? And he said, in tithes and offering. That is mentioning finances. But he said, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You've robbed the nation because you won't give. You've robbed the nation because you won't sacrifice. Amen. You robbed the nation because you don't care. You robbed the nation because you got your own attitude about it. Amen. Why don't we just adopt a God attitude right now and understand this, that we need to get a hold of God, and the Lord needs to teach us on the subject. All of us, myself included, on the subject of teaching. Amen. Or reaching and giving. Now, here's the thing. I just heard not long ago of a man that went to the bank to borrow $100 million. And he needed that to build his church. Now, we had the faith to get where we are. But do we have the faith to get where God wants us to be? Why don't we lift our hands and call on the name of Jesus and ask the Lord to speak to us deep. Amen. From the word of the Lord. Holy Ghost, we love you. We're here to lift you and thank you. And we pray, God, that you would bless us for the next few moments. In a deep way, in a mighty way, in a wonderful and a powerful way. In the name of the Lord. Amen. I want our young people to say in Jesus' name. Moms and dads and everybody else say in Jesus' name. God bless you as you're seated just now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to talk about how that the mission-minded church matters. The mission-minded church matters. Praise the Lord. We love foreign missions, and we love home missions. We love our youth missions. We love our Sunday school missions. We love all of that. Amen. And we give to all of that. We sacrifice for all of that. Amen. We just sent hundreds of dollars to Christmas for Christ because of your giving. Amen. And we will continue to give because we believe that missions beyond our doors matters as well. But the mission that you and I are involved in hands-on, it matters. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It matters the most. Because without this mission, we would not be able to give what we give to those missions. Amen. Now, we're going to have those to come and promote and those to come and give and those to come and talk about it. And they're going to make it sound so important until, you know, giving in Germany is the most important thing in your life. And then we'll have someone come and talk about how giving to Israel and how giving to Japan and giving to Africa and all of that. Amen. But I'm thinking in the back of my mind, we will be glad to sacrifice and give to your cause. But the cause where we are right now is the most important cause. Amen. And so we're preparing ourselves. We're positioning ourselves, amen, to get ready for the key to the riches of God. Amen. I could have those of you testify and consume the rest of the time tonight by simply telling us about how God has richly blessed you as a direct result of your giving. Amen. And so I'm just simply saying giving to missions is the same as giving mercy. You're giving mercy. You give a dollar, you're giving mercy. You give an hour, you're giving mercy. Incidentally, we need more names on the prayer chart. And so go by the prayer chart on your way out tonight and please sign your name to the 1 hour time of prayer. Amen. And when we get there for that hour, let's talk to God and pray about it. Amen. Let's lay our texting to the side and lay our Facebook to the side and lay Snapchat and short chat, long chat, medium chat, all that chat, all that, lay it aside. And let's really reach out to God. Because ladies and gentlemen, do you feel what I feel? God has launched us into a year that we're going to have great revival, a great move of God, the stirring of His deep spirit. And I want to go deep with it. I want to go mighty with it. I want to go powerful with it. Amen. I don't want to lose anybody else to drugs. I don't want to lose anybody else to overdose. Amen. I'm feeling it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the spirit of the world is trying to creep into the church. It's trying to cause our young people to commit illicit sins. It's trying to cause them to do all kinds of ungodly things. As long as I'm sweet and good and innocent in the church, I'll be all right. But come Monday, honey, I'm something else. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, those days need to be dead and gone, and we need to put them on the altar. It's time to give to God, surrender to the Lord. Somebody's not clapping their hands for some reason. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is upon me, and I'm going to preach the Word of God, and I'm going to teach the Word of God. I hope you stay with me, but if you don't, amen, maybe you'll come back one day. Amen. Hallelujah. But you don't threaten me, and you don't worry me, and you don't bother me with rebellion. Amen. What you do is you lay it on the altar, you let the Spirit of God take control. And let the anointing break the yoke. And let's have that revival that the Holy Ghost is. Oh, I'm going to go back to teaching now. Amen. But mercy is not deserved. It is freely given through sacrifice. Amen. You say, well, I got to give money to be saved. I didn't say that. I said, mercy is given through sacrifice. Amen. You understood. You understood partially, but not totally. The sacrifice is you, and the sacrifice is me. And if I want mercy, I got to lay me on this altar, and it needs to stay there. Right? Amen. And so the Lord knew that we needed Him, and then He was going to need us. And so freely given, we must freely give. He gave us how much? He gave us everything. And so how much do we give Him? Somebody say, everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so He would not ask us to do what He Himself has not done. Now, they need you. The world needs you. Amen. And guess what? We need them. We don't need them in a way that they pull us down. We don't need them in a way that they make us complete imbeciles and hypocrites, but we need them in a way that they will encourage us and they will strengthen us. And I'll tell you how they'll do it. We sometimes fall into a situation where we sometimes will sing the same song a lot of times, and it might get boring to us. But you let someone from the world come in and watch how they melt when that song is sung. And watch how the tears come to their eyes when the song is sung. Watch how they come to the altar when the song is sung. Amen. And when we come and pray with them, we're encouraged by them and the song that we sung. Amen. And so what happens, that not only are they reborn, but we are reborn as well. That's why the Bible says that we are saved in childbearing. Am I making sense? Amen. We are saved in childbearing. When we bear children, it's going to save us. If not, we're going to get bored and burned out by looking at the same old mugs day in and day out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why I don't want our young people to get so familiar with one another. Amen. You think you're in love with somebody? Just chill out a little bit. Come in here and worship the Lord. Amen. That individual that you're hanging out with might be somebody else's husband. Might be somebody else's wife. Unless you're engaged. When you're engaged, you're together. But until then, you're not. Amen. So don't be acting engaged when you're not engaged. Does that make sense? Well, then say amen. I'm messing with you now. Amen. So what we've got to learn to do is we've got to give. We've only not only got to give in here, but we've got to give out there. But we can't let our giving out there affect us in a way that they're the ones that are doing the winning. We are the ones that have got to win them to God. For of such were some of you. Right? Amen. And so we will give. Amen. Now they need us. Now, the bigger the church, the bigger the need. Don't feel like, well, I'm swallowed up and nobody needs me anymore. Amen. That's not it at all. And do not use that for an excuse. Amen. If you're going to quit, just quit. Be a man. If you're going to quit, just quit. Be a lady about it. Amen. But don't use me for your excuse and don't use the church for an excuse, because there are 100,000 things you can be doing for the glory of God. If it's for the glory of God and you don't have to have the glory, amen, find whatever your hands can find to do and do it with all of your might. We need givers. Amen. We need the mission-minded church that matters. Amen. And so we are the church. We are the people of God. And we are the people that can sacrifice. We're the people that live it, give it, and love it. Remember? Amen. And so we surrender. We submit. And we dedicate our lives to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so the bigger the church, the bigger the need. There are needs everywhere. There are needs everywhere. Amen. I was here late yesterday. And people begin to drive up and park. And begin to get out. People came to this building. People went to the old building. You're asking right now, well, tell us what was going on. Well, they came in to clean it. I drove by. Someone was outside washing the windows. And I stopped, rolled the window down. I said, thank you so much. You know what they said? They said, thank you, Pastor. Iron, sharpening iron. Thank you for cleaning the church. Thank you for pastoring the church. Oh, that made me feel so good. And I'm sure that I made them feel good. If you don't think there's something to do, ask around at people that are doing stuff and find out if they need help or not. Find out if they need some assistance or not. There are all kinds of things to do rather than isolate ourselves. Right? Amen. Potential for growth is bigger when a church. When a church is bigger. However, the needs are much greater as well. The church grows from an area of ministry to areas of ministry. That's because God did not call us to divide. God called us to multiply. Amen. Amen. It's not time for someone to venture off and do their own thing because the church is bigger. It's time for the church to continue to multiply and to continue, because the more of us, the more we can reach of them. The more that reaches out, the more that are going to come in. Amen. And the more we give it, live it, and love it, the more we're going to have come in giving it, living it, and loving it according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. The church grows from an area of ministry to areas of ministry. That's because God did not call us to divide. My family and I are not the only ones that the Lord is interested in making the rapture. Your family and yourself are not the only ones God is interested in making the rapture. God saved my family to reach other families. He saved your family to reach other families. We've got to go from choice to responsibility. Oh, let's see what I want to do this week. Do I want to show up? Do I want to be a part of this? No. They make me uncomfortable. Or they said something about me. Or they did. Hey, we've got to get deeper than that. We've got to get bigger than that. And I'll tell you why. If we don't get bigger than that, God will not entrust His babies out there to this church. Because this church will not be mature enough to raise His babies. And so what we've got to do is get beyond and say, you know what? I'm going in there and I'm going to do this and I'm going to make friends while I do it. I'm going to go in there and do this and I'm going to enjoy it in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to dig in there and get this done and do this thing for the glory of God and I'm going to be happy about it. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a mature church. That is a church that God can trust His babies with, and we will grow exponentially. Amen. And greatly. Amen. So we've got to go from choice to responsibility. Amen. Not to where we feel like it is a choice. Amen. Hallelujah. We got people that feel like that, you know, I can say what the pastor wants me to do one time, but I don't have to do it the next time, like it's a choice. Amen. Do you think that I make choices for you and your family so that I can just cause torment? The reason I make the choices that I've made, draw the lines that I made, make the rules that we make, is for your benefit, amen, and for your walk with God. That's the thing that I'm concerned about. And I'm no respecter of persons. Amen. What God wants for you, He wants for me. What He wants for me, He wants for everybody. Amen. And so we make decisions so we can cause a church to have apostolic revival. I'm not making decisions to pick on you. Amen. And amen, it's not a choice. Amen. The thing that we need to choose is to follow the man of God as he follows Christ. What's wrong with that? Thank you, both of you. All four of you. All eight of you. Amen. We're getting there. Hallelujah. I'm just simply telling you, amen, we are anointed of God to be used by God, amen, and not tolerated by God. Hello? Amen. God wants to use people over the top of tolerating people. Amen. He wants to put you in a position of authority and dominion, great power in the Holy Ghost, rather than put up with us. Right? Amen. So we've got to go from choice to absolute responsibility. And then you begin to persuade other people to serve their God. This Christian lifestyle and calling after the choice has responsibilities. And reaching others through missions. Before all of that is said and done, we've got to go from choice to responsibility. The fruit of a Christian. Are you ready for this? Write it down. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. The fruit of a Christian is not a boyfriend. It's not a girlfriend. It's not a new husband. It's not a new wife. It's not a new best friend or a new less friend. Amen. But the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Our lives are to affect this world to the point that others around us want to live for God. Amen. Praise God. So you are a purpose and you are a direction-driven church. Amen. I am not that pastor that wants a retirement and to have a few folks in a church just so I can have a card with UPC and fellowship with preachers. I am not that pastor. And you are not that people that would a little dab will do you. Dab in and get back out. One thing on Sunday and another thing on Monday. Hello? Amen. I'm not ignorant, folks. I am not dumb, and I am far from stupid. I understand what the devil wants. He wants to play games with you so that you can join his gang, and nothing will be profited for the glory of Almighty God. But I want the peace that passes all understanding for you. Amen. I want you to walk in the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? Amen. I know it's last generation. I know there's pornography out there. I know there's illicit everything else in the world out there. Amen. I know there's ungodliness and filthiness out there. But is it all right if I want you to walk in the Holy Ghost? Is it all right if I want you to speak in tongues in your school? Amen. Next Tuesday night, we're going to have a very special session. Amen. My wife will have a session with the ladies and the young ladies. I will have a session with the men and the young men. My wife has chosen to go upstairs because she likes her group to be tight together. Amen. I'm going to have a session down here with the men. We're going to make our way down to front. I'm going to talk to you from the floor. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to draw some lines again. Amen. Oh, my Lord. Holy Ghost, help me. My God, be with me. Amen. We're going to draw some lines again. Amen. We're going to go back and go back to our first loves. We're going to go back to where the Lord established this thing and told pastor, he told this preacher, he said, you preach this just like this, whether there's 12 or 200, whether there's 200 or 2,000, you preach it just like this. Amen. I want you to feel some conviction again. I want you to feel some anointing again. I want you to feel some power and some dominion again. I want you to know we need to face this world and to know greater is he that is in me, not he that is against me. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our schools, our public schools especially, our private schools are not far from it. But our public schools are terrible. They're horrible. I'm not talking about the teaching. I'm not talking about what you're learning. Amen. Great people are graduating. Wonderful people. And we have apostolics that are graduating. Amen. And they're turning into to be great people. But what I want you to understand, we cannot be influenced by the underlying things. We can't be influenced by the back street things. We can't be influenced by the dark things. Let the young people say amen. What did you say? Man. Thank you so much. Praise God. Amen. And let the Lord give them deeper voices. The men. Hallelujah. Some of you young ladies be upset at Pastor years from now if you walk up here and say, now listen at me. Hallelujah. Amen. Make the choice. Praise God. But choice, there's not a lot of power in just a simple choice. But there is power when we take on responsibility. Amen. When we look in the mirror and say, I'm responsible for these fellow students. I'm responsible for my coworkers. I am responsible for the people I hang out with. Amen. Mom and Dad, I'm responsible for my family. Hello? Amen. Praise God. Hey, can I get real? Had we rather sit down with our daughters and tell them, no, I'm not letting you get birth control. I'm going to pray with you every day until you get Holy Ghost control. No, I'm not sending you to an abortion clinic. I'm going to pray with you every day until you never have to go to a clinic. I can't help it. I feel something here tonight. I felt it from my office, and I feel it in the sanctuary. Amen. We're going to live for God. We're going to serve God. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus and praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Some of us are hoping for a better day. I know what it is right now, but don't tell nobody. I know what it is right now, but don't make sure it don't get out. Hello? Amen. Listen, they're going to tell somebody it's going to get out, but that don't matter. Amen. Hallelujah. Who I am don't matter. What everybody else says does not matter. What will happen is so much ungodliness will be sown until they're never able to get back where they're supposed to be. Pardon me if I go too deep tonight. But don't let deepness offend you. Because that's exactly where the Holy Ghost is trying to take us this year. Do you want to go? I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. Amen. So, you know, and this is how we do it. You're a purpose and a direction-driven church. Amen. We're going to have revival, but we're going to have it on purpose. You see, because you don't accidentally have revival. Hello? Praise the Lord. I had a preacher tell me not long ago. He said, man, he said, Brother Marshburn, he said, you're so lucky. He said, I just never had kin folks to come and move and transfer and come in to help me in my church and to grow it like yours has grown. And I didn't offend him. And I said, oh, brother, I'll be praying for you. Whatever I said, I don't know. I don't remember. I sugarcoated it because, you know, he's not sitting out there where you said. I don't pastor him. He's a pastor himself. He's got a pastor. That pastor needs to hear that stuff and deal with it. But, you know, hello? Amen. And if Matthew Drake was here tonight, I'd still preach it. Amen. You didn't know Matthew Drake. And you didn't know what some others were involved in, what happened and in their lives and caused a lot of things to be cut away and taken away and robbed of them. And all of that had to be reestablished and rebuilt, amen, because of the mercy of God. And it was, hello, amen. But nobody has moved here being a professional anything. Nobody has ever been born again in this house being a professional anything. Amen. But by the grace of God. But by the grace of God. Amen. Hey, Matthew tells it, so I'm going to tell you. Amen. I heard a knock on my door one day. I didn't even know him and Stacy were going to move here. He knocked on the door one day. I opened it up. He had a pair of goofy looking coveralls on. And one of the straps was hanging down like he was half dressed. Had one of them red bandanas tied around his head. I opened the door. He said, hey, pastor, we're moving here. I said, no, you're not. And slammed the door. I thought, my God, man, I got enough to deal with that rather than deal with that. And I could look at that and I said, that's deep. And I opened it up again and he was standing a little different. And looking a little, listen, and I tell everybody, he's doing a great job pastoring and everything. He still breaks it and I still fix it, but that's okay. I'm still his pastor. Amen. But he's doing a great job. He's doing a wonderful thing. He'd be laughing just like you are right now. You know Matthew. Amen. And I told it all across the nation. I'd preach about him like I'm preaching about him right now. I said he would always break it and I would always have to come back and fix it. But he never broke it in the same place again. To my knowledge. Hello. Amen. And so it is with everybody. Amen. Listen, brother, pastor, man. Listen, leadership. Amen. They're not going to move here and be everything God has for them to be. Hey, if they were everything God wanted them to be, why would they move here? And get involved with a bunch of folks, amen, that are not professionals, that are not perfect. Hello? But we are digging it out and we're trying to make heaven our home. We're laying on the altars all the time. We're crying out to God all of the time. Sometimes we feel Him, Brother Bennett, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we hear Him, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we know He's close, sometimes we don't know where He is. But we don't give up. We don't stop. We don't quit. We're tenacious about it. We're hanging on to it. We're reaching out for it. I'm not everything you want me to be. You're not everything I want you to be. But we're going to be one day and we're going to make one another so happy until we won't be able to stand it. Amen. Amen. And so we will have growth and we're going to have it on purpose. We're going to have revival on purpose. Because if you purpose it, it's going to happen. If you will it, it's going to happen. If you stand for it, it's going to happen. Amen. We will have maturity on purpose. We will have evangelism on purpose. Just as we will worship, we will pray, we will fast, and we will give. Our tithing will go to God. Our offerings will go to God. Our sacrifice will go to God. Hallelujah. And because it is our purpose, nothing can stop a church motivated by purpose. Souls are our purpose. Not letting them down. Not betraying them. Not sacrificing them because of selfish acts. We will reach them through heartfelt mission because the mission-minded church matters Amen. A mission-minded church gets the attention of God, and we need His attention. I need His attention. You need God's attention. And it's not just going to come by your weeping and wailing. That is an awesome thing to do, but it's going to come from your mission-mindedness, your purpose, what God has designed us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing can stop a church motivated by purpose. Praise the Lord. Whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. What are we sowing? The devil will never be able to say, God never blessed you because you tithe. Let all the tithers say amen. God will never say, or the devil will never say, God never blessed you because you gave in the offering. Or because you sacrificed. Or because you loved your missions. Malachi 3, 6 through 12, God will not be mocked. That's not what that scripture says. That scripture says, give and it's going to be given. The scripture says, I'll bless you. I'll open doors. I'll open windows. The Bible says that God will give it back to you just as much as you gave and sometimes even more. And if God said that, He will not be mocked. He will do it. Amen. The devil hit Job with his best shot, and still Job came out a just man. Amen. And so when the devil hits us, men, when the devil hits us with all he's got, let us not come out just a man, but let us come out a just man. Amen. Job gave God his life. God gave something indescribable to Job. Let me move real quick. Hey, when the dust of the end time generation settles, we want to be we want to still be standing. Am I correct? And so the Bible said, "Given it'll be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over." That means after the battle with one enemy, you'll be asking for another one. Or if the enemy says, "I'm coming," we'll be able to say, bring it. Because we found out where our source is. It's a mission-minded church. In this church, your money becomes a miracle. In this church, your mission becomes a miracle. Amen. Maybe you don't want to hear this, but you're going to have to hear it anyhow. Hallelujah. Amen. Prostitutes turned to Sunday school teachers. Drug addicts turned into people that pick people up for church. Alcoholics to soul winners. Deadbeats to saints with initiative and drive. Somebody say yes to the clarion call to giving. Amen. You know the Bible says you must be forgiving. That doesn't just mean forgive your brother, forgive your sister, forgive the, you know. A lot of times we're forgiving people for things we did ourselves. And it covers a multitude of sorrow, but not sin. Anyway, we need to be forgiving. Separate the four from the giving for just one space. We need to be for giving. Amen. Because the mission-minded church matters. That's the one that matters. God meets needs at the point of sacrifice. We must measure our giving by what we have left. Not by what we give. Amen. You ever gone home after an outreach exhausted? You gave more than you had. You ever prayed until your voice was raspy and gone? You gave more than you had. You ever signed up for 1 hour prayer all night, Saturday night? You gave more than you had last month. We didn't do that last month. So if you do it this month, you gave more than you gave last month. Amen. You must be forgiving. Amen. Don't get locked into your own little world. We're not here just to talk in tongues to one another. Observe missions. We're not here just to comprehend what missions are about. We are here. A whole book was dedicated to it. But we are here to act upon it. Actions of the apostles. Right? Let's stand together. Are you willing to close your book of complaints and to open the book of praise? To stop looking for friendship and start being friendly. To ignore what life owes you and to think perhaps about what you owe life. To believe others are quite as sincere as you and to treat them with respect. To cease looking for someone to help you and to devote yourself to helping others. If your answer is correct, you are a prime candidate for that mission-minded church. I want you to hear what St. Augustine said when he said, faith is to believe what we don't see. The reward of faith is to see what we believe. It starts with faith, something you cannot see. And if faith continues, it turns into those things that you will be able to see. And the beauty of it is, you'll be able to launch your next launch off what came to pass through your first faith. Wow. Listen to an old proverb. The old proverb said, what I kept, I lost. What I spent is what I had. And what I gave, I have. Wow. What I kept, I lost. What I spent is what I once had. And what I gave, I have. Amen. My. Whew. Sorry. So much for a deep Bible study, but I think it was. But all of us together, that's what the Lord is shooting for. But people halfway in, halfway out, that's what the enemy's shooting for. I've always said attitude's your altitude. Got a bad attitude, you're going to be flying low. That's very dangerous. A good one will set you on high. I want us to reach out to the Lord. Would you close your eyes? Forget about who's beside you. Oh, hallelujah. And would you lift your hands with me? Like you're reaching for something from God, because that's exactly what I want us to do here tonight. Lord Jesus, we're volunteering. We're totally submitting, subjecting ourselves to that mission-minded church. That church of unity. That church that comes together. That church that is strong on holiness. That church that is strong on righteousness. That church, Lord Jesus, that we chase after and follow after, that we love. That church that we're proud of. That church that we're happy about. That church that's molded us and made us. Hallelujah. I'm asking you, Holy Ghost, to move deep right now. Move mighty right now and powerful and wonderful right now by your grace and goodness and mercy and hope in the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted amen. Amen. God richly bless you. Thank you so much for being here for Bible study night. Amen. I love you. I appreciate you. Respect you. And let's expect great things from all of us. Amen.